6, Luke 6 this morning. This is Thanksgiving week, and I was thinking about something the other day. I was talking about, you know, we live in a world right now where a lot of it is complaining. And I thought, man, you turn on the news, it's all complaining, complaining, complaining. You talk to people, it's a lot of complaining, complaining, complaining. And I thought to myself the day, I said, I'd like to go a whole day without any complaining, that you hear complaining. And then I thought to myself, as I was doing that, I thought, what it must be like to be God, to hear all the complaining. And this is what's really crazy, to not hear a whole lot of praising, but a whole lot of complaining. And really, we've got a lot to be thankful for, a lot of things that can be praised. We just tend to focus on the complaining. And so it'd be a good time of year, it's not what the message is about, but it's worth mentioning, is it'd be a good time of year to spend some time praising people around you, thanking people around you, and especially thanking and praising God for all He's done for us. Looking at Luke chapter number 6, though, I had this thought on my mind for quite a while. And in Luke 6, in verse number 27, so we'll start. It says this, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what think have ye?" That's easy. It's easy to love people that love you. "For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be of the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." That's a great statement. That ought to settle in on us. He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, be not judged. Condemn not, be not condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you." And go on, so forth, down through there. I want to just kind of key in on, I'm sure you can see the title is Living in Kindness, Living in Loving Kindness. Another place that talks about loving kindness, but living in kindness. And in a day, I was thinking about this last night, in a day where harsh words have become the norm, we need more kindness. In a day where the shows we watch, a lot of shows people watch, reality shows, are spent critiquing people on how well they do this or how well they do that, and how well they sing or dance or look or act or do, and everything's critiquing everybody, and it's always about some kind of problem somebody's got in their life, some kind of thing you need to fix in your life. We need some more kindness. In a world where social distancing is the norm, I saw something yesterday. Stacy and I stopped at a place to eat, and instead of saying the phrase "distance makes the heart grow fonder," it said "social distancing makes the heart grow fonder." I thought it was kind of an interesting play on words. But you know, in a day when everybody's so separated, you know, we need to see more of kindness. We need more kindness. And I began to think about this section of Scripture because it talked about Him being kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Kind. I wrote down a few things here that I thought that you just made them, and hopefully try to make it easier for you to remember it. But the first one that I've got in this, look at this, is the oddity of this type of kindness. It's different. This type of if somebody was to say, "This is what you should be doing in life," people would say, "Well, that's odd. That's different. That's not the way the world normally does it." In fact, the first thing I've got is in verse number 27, 28, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you." And you'd say, "That's That's opposite of what I would think you should do. That's not the way it should normally work. In fact, when he says in 32 down through 33 or 34, it's saying that, you know, the typical way to do it is you love people that are going to love you back. You lend to people that you think, well, I'm going to get a good return on my investment. And you do good to people that you think are going to do good back to you. But typically you don't love people that are hateful. You don't lend to people that you think, I'm never getting this back again. You don't do good to people that are doing bad to you. Typically that's not the way it works, but this type of Christianity is the opposite of what the world does in many respects. And so it's different than the rest of the world. In verse 29 through number 31, it goes above and beyond what typically you would do. When you look at some of these verses down here, it's saying one smites you on one cheek, give them the other cheek. Now that, I don't know anybody that does that. I really don't know anybody that does that. Somebody punches you in the face and you say, hold on, let me get my teeth put back in my mouth. Let me turn around and let's do it the other way. Let's try it on the other side for a little while. We just typically don't respond that way to people being rude or obnoxious to you. He says, if somebody takes your cloak, let them take your coat as well. We just typically don't respond that way to things. So it's different than the world, and it goes above and beyond what you would normally see done. The third thing is, it's not looking for anything in return, because this type of love, you have this love, you have this goodness, you have this lending, you have this type of kindness that is not looking for something in return when it does it. It's not loving so that it can love, get love back. It's not giving so it can get something back. It's not doing good so it can get something back. It's doing it without the hopes of getting anything in return. But you do see in this that there is a reward for the way that it is done. There's something that God gives. There's something that happens in a person that does act and live this way. God rewards those things. And that's going to be one of the last points we talk about, is God rewards it. There is something to that. In fact, when you look down about being merciful, folks, listen, you can't expect to be a person that gets mercy, watch, from people and from others and from God if you're not a person that shows much mercy to people. What he says in here, if your spirit is all judging. Now, there are things that we do have to judge. I mean, that's got through teaching in the Bible college all the way through 1 Corinthians and all the way through there. They're having to judge things within the church that have to be dealt with. So there is things you have to judge. But and the idea here is it's saying, listen, if you're going to judge some things, the proportion with which you judge, you can expect to get the same judgment back. He even gives giving is the way that you approach a level of generosity towards other people is how you can expect people to approach generosity back to you. And when I thought about this, what I was thinking about is I want to be a person and I want to have a church that is kind. I want to be a family that is kind, that shows kindness, not with the hopes of getting something, but just because that's the heartbeat of God. And I want us to be a church that's the heartbeat of God. You know, it's not, I don't build this church. You don't build this church. Man doesn't build the church. In fact, what the Bible says is man will plant, another man will water. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. And if God's going to be responsible for sending people to this church, listen, God will send people to a place that is like Him. But God's not going to send people to a place simply because, I know people flock to places because they have great entertainment, they have this, they have that, and people flock to them. But the places that God would be interested in making sure that a person gets to that place to grow would be a place that's like He is. And this is who He is. In fact, that's what it says. It's talking about kind, for in verse number 35, that last part of this, He is kind. God is kind. So if you want to be like God, you'll have to be kind. And we look at this, the quality, I wrote down a definition, kindness is the quality of compassion and generosity. It's a characteristic of God dealing towards weak or the poor. And it's demanded of all believers, kindness is. When you think about Jesus, you think about the way he did things. Jesus, I told you one of the things is, it's different than the rest of the world. Jesus was not in step with the rest of the world. He was out of step with the rest of the world. He did things different than the rest of the world would do them. He went above and beyond. We talked about that. He went above and beyond in the things that he did for people. And he was not looking for anything in return. He just was happy to give to others. And let me tell you something, that should be the way you are, and that should be the way the church is. Listen, he went to people. He went to people that nobody else would go to. He went to people and touched people that were diseased and sick. He went to people and touched people that were unclean. He saw people that were hungry and was moved with compassion. He didn't talk about it, have a meeting about it, try to figure out what everybody had. In fact, he would just say, there's people here, what do you have? We don't have enough. Well, let's give them what you do have and let God take care of providing for what's needed. His heart was moved with compassion when he saw something that was needed. Folks, listen, this is the way we do things most of the time. We look at somebody and see somebody that's in need, and we start calculating, what can I afford? How would this work? I can help as long as it's not going to cost me too much of myself. That's not Christ. That's not the way Christ was. He ate with those that nobody else would eat with. Not that he's partying with people that were partying, but he's going to people that nobody else wanted to go to, is what I'm saying. He received people that were rejected, like the tax collectors and the sinners, the people that everybody else would say, how dare he go to those people? Those are the people he went to. Folks, he was kind. He wept with people that were weeping. He worked with people that were hard to work with. And then think about this. He went to the cross for people that did not deserve it. And so you read verses like Romans 5:8. It says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2 very quickly. Just flip over there. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Hope you have your Bibles with you this morning, and you can study the Word of God with us this morning. Ephesians chapter number 2. And just look at this for a second and think about the kindness that we've been shown of God. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse number 1, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's who we were. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I love this next phrase, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love worth he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, for the future generations, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, there's a spot in Titus chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Think about that for a minute. It was his kindness that saved us. It wasn't a matter of, I get cleaned up, I start going to this church, I start doing these things, I go through these things that they set up within the church, and I'm at a certain level, and now I've made up my mind, I'm not going to do this anymore. Now I'm at the place that God can receive me. No, it's while you are, when you realize just how bad you really are, he reaches out and saves you. Not by works that you do, but his mercy, his kindness, his grace, it's all wrapped up in how kind God is. And so let me say this. We have an obligation to have the same type of kindness. I thought the first thing is the oddity of this kindness that he would even do what he did for us. But then second is the obligation of kindness that we've got. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. You can just maybe turn over a page there if you've turned with me so far. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. In Ephesians 4, it starts talking about, you know, you should be, in verse 17, you should be walking different than you used to walk before you got saved. And that it shouldn't be in darkness and ignorance and blindness anymore. In verse number 20, you're learning Christ. You've learned Christ. In verse number 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Changing the way you think. The way you do things now. And he goes through all these things about putting away lying and this anger issues and stealing and corrupt communication proceeding out of your mouth and grieving the Holy Spirit in verse 30. And then you get to verse number 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now think about that proportion we just talked about. God forgave you and now expects you to forgive others. God was tender-hearted towards you and expects you to be tender-hearted towards others. God has been kind to you and expects you to be kind to others. We have an obligation. It's the mark of Christianity. What is tenderhearted? You know what tenderhearted is? It means that your heart is such a level that when you see something that looks like it's hurting or it needs help, your heart is bent towards helping in that situation. Not calculating it, but just your heart says there's a need, and because your heart says there's a need, you're willing to do something about that need. That's it. You know, when 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4, talks about charity, which is love in action, it says it suffers long and is kind. It puts up with a whole lot from people, and then it still shows kindness. It's the mark of what true Christianity is. When you even look at 2 Peter 1, where that whole, we've heard a lot about it lately, one of the missionaries the other day preached through this, and it says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Most of you would say, I've got faith. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. But it says, add to your faith knowledge. That's what we're doing today. And then it says, in the knowledge, temperance, putting yourself in check and bringing yourself in line with the knowledge that you've got. And then to temperance, patience. And most of us would just cut that out of our Bible and chunk it because we don't like that anyway. But patience. And then to patience, godliness. And then it says this, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And a brotherly kindness, charity. You know what? Charity is the pinnacle of maturity. One step below that is kindness to your brother. We have an obligation to be kind. Sometimes in our circles, in our types of churches, it doesn't seem like we're that kind. We almost seem like we're angry about everything. We almost seem like we're ready to bash somebody over the head of the club when we're supposed to be kind. That's supposed to be the mark of who we are as Christians. We're like Christ. We're kind. Look at Galatians chapter 6. You're right there. Just go backwards. You're in Ephesians. Go backwards. Just a couple of pages maybe. Galatians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 7. I'm going to give you a lead into the verse I want to use here. But in verse number 7, Galatians 6 says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, most of you have always seen that verse as being something about, you know, if you do bad, you're going to get yours. It's really not, that's not the context. You know what the context of that is? Being good to other people. The verse above it is talking about those that teach you the Bible, that teach you spiritual things, treating them good. The verse below it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall reap, of his flesh reap corruption. Those that are sowing for fleshly things, their mind is on fleshly things, it's just going to be corruptible things that they get from it. But that it soweth to the Spirit, spiritual things, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Not that you get everlasting life, but you reap things that are everlasting with life. Folks, just take a time out and think about that for a minute there. You do realize that what God is saying here is, if you spend your life being kind, it comes back to you in some way. But if you're spending your time on self, it goes away. And so then he says this, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's coming around, but only if you keep going. Verse 10, and this is the verse I want you to get, as we have therefore opportunity. Now folks, most of us have a whole lot more opportunity than what we seize. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So I said it's odd. We're obligated to do it. The third thing is this. We have opportunities to show kindness that we're just not seizing. We ought to be a church. You ought to be individuals that every time an opportunity to show kindness comes up, you ought to be willing to step into that opportunity of kindness with somebody. I was thinking about this the other day, and I know these guys are going to think that I don't see some of them here this morning. I don't know where Andrew's at. There he is over there. He'll call me out on this later. I was mowing the yard. It took Thursday off. I was mowing. Well, it really isn't a yard. It's acres. I was mowing acres on the tractor, and I was making these long lines with a brush hog, and I was doing that. I was looking over, and I saw them working in a different place, and I'm sitting here thinking about this verse. As you have opportunity, do good. As you have opportunity, do good. As you have opportunity, do good. Do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. And I'm looking over, and there's Andrew and his workers, and I know they're all go to church and are involved in that stuff. They're not here today, so I think maybe, I don't know if they're a household of faith or not. I don't know. But they said, do good. So I'm thinking, you know what? Here I am driving this tractor. I'm looking at my watch. I'm thinking lunch is about to come up in a couple hours. And I thought, I'm going to invite them to come over and eat lunch, and I'll buy their lunch for them. And so so I texted and said, you come over and eat lunch. And then one of them said, what'd you do this for? And I said, well, I'm thinking about a message about kindness. And one of them said, I forget who it was, said, oh, you just did this so you'd have a preaching illustration to use Sunday morning. I said, well, no, that wasn't the reason why. It was because I kind of felt a little bit convicted about, here you are saying that you have, as you have opportunity to do something kind to somebody, and you're standing here and there's an opportunity to do something kind, why don't you do it? It's easy to get up in the pulpit and tell everybody to do it. Why don't you do it? And so I thought, yeah, that's true. I need to do that. You know, we have a lot of opportunities to show kindness to people all the time. I don't know if we take them all the time. There were times that Jesus, and in fact, there's one, I can't remember exactly where it's at, maybe Mark 6 or 7 or 8, somewhere in there, but Jesus had told his disciples, they had been out doing everything, they came back, he said, let's come apart and take some time to rest, because you've been going and going and going. And they came apart to rest. They went off somewhere to rest. And you know what they saw when they got somewhere to rest? A bunch of people that were hungry. So you know what they said? Well, it's rest time. I know there's an opportunity here to do something, but it's rest time. So, you know, they made their bed, let them lie in it. That's what they said, remember? Maybe there was a different Bible version. What they did say was, there are people here that need help. Let's just stop and help them. With what? What do we do it with? Whatever we've got, let's try to help them with it. See, that's the heart of God. We say, well, they're not going to give you any thanks. And maybe they're evil people. Well, what's interesting is he was kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And so let me say this, the outcome of this type of kindness. Kindness moves the heart of people. Kindness moves the heart of people around you. In Proverbs 31, it talks about this good woman that is a blessing in Proverbs 31 all the way through that. In verse number 26, it says, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You know, God highlighted a woman, and what he said was the things that come out of her mouth are kind words. In Proverbs 19:22, it says, the desire of a man is his kindness, meaning this, the thing that people desire, reason why people desire to be around him is because he is kind. I read a story one time, it was a lady, and somebody asked her, they said, and I don't know why somebody would actually say this, but they said to a lady, you know, you're extraordinarily beautiful, and you're married to a man and I won't mention any names of who this could be, says you're married to a man that's not as good looking. Buddy lawyer. But anyway, so they said, you're married to a man that's not as good looking. And this is what he said. Now, this wasn't kind, was it? He said, you're married to a man that's not as good looking. Watch what he said. He said, why would you marry a man that's, you could have pick of anybody. And this is what she said. I found this quote somewhere I thought was so interesting. She said, because he's kind to me. I never feel bad around him. And you know what? Kindness goes a long ways with people. There's a famous preacher one time, and he said this, kindness is a language that deaf people can hear and blind people can see. I want to be a kind church. I want to be a kind man. Kindness moves the heart of our enemies. That's what Christianity is. In Romans 12:19, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Doing good to people. There's a verse that I think is really, really good, and I don't know that everybody uses it. In Proverbs 21:14, it says, a gift in secret pacifieth anger. You know, if you have somebody that's really upset with you, and you show them a genuine kindness, sometimes it'll melt the heart. And so that's kind of the idea. So it's not, well, I'll show them kindness so I can heap coals on their head. That's not the idea. It's, I'm showing them kindness, and that's the effects of kindness. That's what kindness has, the effects on people. Let me say lastly, this is a very simple message to give you because I really want us to get a hold of this, and I don't want to overcomplicate it, is this. Kindness not only moves the heart of people, but kindness moves the heart of God. God is kind. And I want to be someone that's like God. You say, you're always like that? No. No, no. Did you say amen to the fact that I said I'm not always like this? Not always like this. There was a guy that lives around us and said some things that were not so pleasant the other day, and I got mad and said some things back, and I'm just being transparent with you because I'm not perfect either. I can tell you that for a week, I was under conviction about that I should have been kinder in that. So at the end of that week, after I couldn't take it anymore, the pressure that God was putting on me about it, I sent a text and said, hey, that was kind of an irritating situation that we had the other day, and I'm sorry that I didn't respond in the most kindest of ways, and I apologize for that. And then I waited for the blast that would come, and I figured I'd get nailed, and I'd just take it. But I didn't. What the person said was, I can appreciate a preacher with a little bit of spunk. I thought, all right. Okay, I can take that. But you know what? We ought to be marked by kindness. And when we don't show kindness very well, we ought to be the mark of us should be people that are willing to say, I'm sorry that I wasn't kind, and get kindness right. And so it moves the heart of God. Read you just maybe two verses is all I've got left. In Luke 14:12, it says this, then said he also unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made to thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. There's one last verse in Proverbs 19:17. It says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Well, so you say, well, that verse means that for Thanksgiving, I shouldn't invite a brother to Thanksgiving. That's not what that means. What it's saying is, most of the time it's easy for us to do something for someone that's of the household of faith. And that's what it says. We should be doing that as we have opportunity. But don't let it stop there. The heartbeat of God is not just doing good to one another, but it's doing good to all men. That's the heart. That's the heart of God. I heard somebody preach one time about Lazarus and the rich man. Remember, the rich man fared sumptuously and ate and was dressed in purple. And remember, Lazarus was at his gate, which means that the guy that had everything would walk by the guy that had nothing and act like he wasn't even there. And the heart of God is, we ought to recognize the people that everybody else would say is the trash of this world. The heart of God is, those are people that matter to God. And what I'm saying to you is, we have got to be individuals, Christians, that are kind, that are looking for opportunities to be kind to other people, that are showing mercy to people, that are trying to be kind to people, that would lend, that would give, that would love, that would forgive people that nobody else would lend or love or forgive or give to. Especially those of the household of faith, but to all men also. And I'll close with this little poem. It says, "You gave on the way a pleasant smile and thought no more about it. It cheered a life that was sad the while that might have been wrecked without it. And so for the smile and its fruitage fair, you'll reap a crown sometime somewhere. You spoke one day a cheering word and passed to other duties. It warmed a heart, new promise stirred, and painted a life with beauties. And so for the word and its silent prayer, you'll reap a reward sometime somewhere. You lent a hand to a fallen one, a lift and kindness given. It saved a soul when help was none, and won a heart to heaven. And so for the help you proffered there, you'll reap a joy sometime, somewhere." You know, all I'm saying is, you know, we've spent a year here in our church We spent probably 4 years building a building, getting everything done. We finally come to the last part of remodeling, getting the team building done is the last thing we're doing. And our focus has been so much on that. And then with COVID, your focus gets so scattered. We're so focused on all the crazy that's going on in the world. And then the elections and all the stuff that's going there. And sometimes we get our focus on so many things other than just being like Christ. And I'm saying the heart of Christ is, he was kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And we should be a people that are the exact same way. And so what you need to do this week is be thinking, not only thankful for what God's doing, but you need to try this week to be thinking, how can I show a kindness to somebody? Maybe before you even leave this church, how can I show a kindness? And I'm going to tell you what I want our church to be. I want our church to be, when a missionary comes through, the heart should be broken for helping them. When we see, there, I'll tell you something that I want to do, and I haven't said anything really to the church, and if I don't say something to the church, I'll just do it myself. But there's a pastor that is in Lano that his wife just lost their baby, and she's been very sick. Now, I don't know what led up to all the things that they're deciding to do, but he's resigned the church. They're trying to take some time to just heal. And I don't know where they're at in their life. I don't know where they're at. I imagine that their heart is very heavy. I wrote them a letter. I don't know them. Never even met them. Never even seen them. I don't know what he looks like. Wrote them a letter and told them, you know, we're praying for you. I can't imagine. And then I texted him. Said he never responded to a letter, but he doesn't know me. Why would he respond to a letter? Somebody didn't know. And I sent him a text, and a long text, and I'm praying for you. And there's a few of us at church that are praying for you. If you need anything at all, I wish you'd please let us know. When do you leave? When do you leave that church? Where are you going? He told me where he was going, and I said, when you leave to go to where you're going to go, would you stop, if you can, if you have the strength, would you stop by church here and visit us one time? Just, you don't have to do anything, just stop in. And he hasn't answered that part yet, but I intend to try to be a huge blessing to them and try to give them something, try to be a help to them. Say, well, do we have the funds to do that? Have you checked this and that? Listen, it's not about that. It's not about, Philip, do we have enough fish? Well, we've got this. We'll just give what you got. Try to be a help. Watch God do all the rest of it. And so, I don't know if that family needs anything, but I tell you what they do need. They need somebody to love them. They need someone to be Christ for them, to them. Folks, listen, if the church is the body of Christ, and it is, can I tell you something? This is not an organization. This is an organism. This is alive. This is a body. And that body is the body of Christ. So the eyes should be looking at things the way Christ looks at them. The heart should be moved exactly the way Christ's heart was moved when he saw things. The hands that we touch should be the same things that Christ was trying to touch. The feet should be going the same places that Christ was trying to go to. And the things that stirred Christ should stir us. In teaching in the Bible college class the other day, is in Romans chapter 14. And so the last thing I'll say is this. We were teaching, he was talking about disputes in Romans 14 between people over silly things, disputing. And then he said this. He said, why don't you really just seek after the kingdom of God, joy and righteousness and peace? He says, if a person follow after these things, they're acceptable to God and approved of all men. And I thought when I was looking at that, you know what I thought was interesting? It says acceptable to God. And I thought, I wonder what else in the Bible is acceptable to God. There's actually quite a few of them. But you know what about half of those things are that are acceptable to God? They are you sacrificing yourself to be a blessing to others. That's one of them. One of them is Paul was in prison somewhere and they sent someone to be a blessing to him. God says, many things were done. Wait a minute, that was acceptable to me. You know what one of them was? Taking care of widows. You know why? Somebody's not there to take care of them. You need to have a heart that sees people that are in need and you want to help them. That should be our heart. That should be our church. That should be the mark of this church. People should leave and say, if nothing else, well, they're kind. They're like Christ. I'd say this wasn't a salvation message, it's more of a challenge to us, but if you're not saved, I'd say get saved this morning. If you are saved, I would say take a stock of where your kindness level is at in your heart and do something about it this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Lord, we love you for your word. We thank you for it. Thank you for the heart that you had towards us. That, Lord, what you showed us was an odd love in the sense that we certainly did not deserve you giving your son to pay the penalty for our wicked perverseness. But you did it anyway. You showed kindness to an unthankful and evil people. Father, I pray you'd help us to have that same type of spirit. Lord, let me say this. I pray that you'd help me to have that same type of spirit. Father, I pray you'd help our church to have that kind of spirit. Father, I pray that this would be a place that you can nudge the heart of people, not because of what's on the sign, but because of the heartbeat of this place they'll come to. And it would be a spirit of kindness. Lord, I pray that you'd touch the hearts of these people and help us to live like you and for you. Father, do the work in the hearts of these people now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. She's going to play. Why don't you pray this morning? Spend a little bit of time in prayer. You can pray where you're at. You can come to an altar and pray.